It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Lathbert, little screen. That's a lateral. That ball's behind him. It's loose. Picked up by the Giants. Foley's got it. Running down the right sideline. To the 30, to the 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Manning back to throw. Looks end zone on the post for Dominic kicks it. Bobbles the ball and then makes the catch for the touchdown.
Jump ball deflected.
And caught off the deflection. Running down the right sideline for a touchdown is Victor Cruz. And he does the samba in the end zone.
Patrick back to throw. Lobs one left for Johnson.
Intercepted by Corey Webster.
Manning takes a low snap. He's back. Throws one left down the sideline for Nicks,
who makes the catch for the touchdown. With 2:30 to go, Akeem Nicks.
Now here are your hosts, Anita Marks and Paul Dottino.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, and no, it is not Paul Dottino. It is John Schmelk.
He's power walking. He can't be here today. Sorry.
He's with you for we're with you, I should say, for the next hour. This is kind of your pre-game show to the preseason game number 3, Giants against the Bears.
It's a Friday. People are up early. They're going to work. We're going to try to give you a little early Giants fix before you got to go about your business over the course of the day.
All right. So the phone number to get in the show, and I'm sure there's a lot of Giants fans out there who want to, 201-939-4513. Again, 201-939-4513. Also, you can find us all things social media. I'll be monitoring social media throughout the show. And that is hashtag Giants Chat here, Big Blue Kickoff Live, 201-939-4513. Also, we have Howard Cross, who's going to join us on the show around 9:45 this morning, Eastern Time. And then also, we're going to have Jeff Fiegels, who's going to join us on the show around 10 a.m. We've got some player sound that we're going to hear. I know a lot of fans out there really excited to see running back David Wilson get some playing time tonight, and specifically, he's probably more excited that he's getting playing time with a lot of the starters, Eli Manning being one of them. John, let's start there first and foremost. One thing head coach Tom Coughlin said coming into the season is that he wanted to improve this running game. They did go out and they improved, I think, this backfield by drafting David Wilson, and he's really been impressive so far this camp.
And you'll hear from him, and I guess we'll play it in just a minute, but David Wilson made the point this week that he's almost considering this his first preseason game action because he's going to get time with the ones. He's going to have a chance to play with Eli Manning with the starting offensive line. And that means he's going to have to pass protect for Eli Manning and the Giants franchise player. So he's really looking at this as an opportunity to not only shine, but to show everybody that he does deserve to play with the first team.
Well, let's dive into that rule just 1 second. Big concerns on the offensive line, John. And Will Beatty not going to play tonight, correct?
Who knows when he's going to play is really the better question. I don't.
So Sean Locklear, it looks right now going into the season as the left tackle. Again, some concerns on the offensive line. So what does that mean? Even greater attention to the tight ends, greater attention to the running backs in regard to Max Protect and protecting Eli Manning. So not sitting here saying, look, I'm the first person. I want to see David Wilson on the field. I think he's so explosive. I think he can do amazing things.
Big play waiting to happen.
But if he doesn't understand blitzes, this is his first year in the NFL, the exotic schemes that are going to be presented, if he doesn't understand and can read and know when to stay home and when to pick up those blitzes, what his playing time is, I think, is going to be a concern unless he truly develops it quickly.
Sure, and that was one of the reasons Darrell Scott didn't get a lot of playing time last year, and a lot of people were excited about his big playability because he didn't understand the pass protection schemes. And it's something that he's going to have to figure out. But talking to him, he seems to understand that it's the pass protection and knowing the playbook and maybe being a better route runner out of the backfield and learning that part of being a running back that will get him his playing time on the field. I think he gets it. Whether or not he can translate that in a quick enough period of time to get on the field, we'll see. And we'll also see if Sean Locklear stays at left tackle. My bet is that if we still have that injury, I think Dio's getting moved back over to the left side. You're going to see Locklear on the right side.
And Locklear has played right.
More so than
left.
And David Dio has already proven he can, play left tackle for a Super Bowl team, so I wouldn't worry about that.
Again, the phone number, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Let's go to Orlando, John. We've got Brett standing by. Brett, welcome.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
What's up, Brett?
How you doing, bud? Hey, I just got a question about the defensive line. I know everybody's been getting hurt pretty bad on the defensive tackles, and Sean Rogers, they say, might be able to come back. How do you think they're going to fill in? Are they going to use more of their – do they have good backups? I mean, I haven't seen their backups besides Austin and the other guys. Are they going to be able to fill those positions? And do you think the defensive line will be able to step it up throughout the year?
Well, the good thing about the defensive line and the way the Giants treat it is that you can never have enough depth on the defensive line. And that's the way the Giants acquire people. That's the way they build through the draft. So even though right now you don't have Chris Canty, I don't know when you're going to get Chris Canty back. Maybe not until, you know, middle, end of September, maybe even October. We really haven't gotten a timetable on him. And then you have Marvin Austin with a back injury. You mentioned Sean Rogers. Could still be out with the year, for the year. We'll see with the different medication he's taking, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the good news is you have a veteran like Rocky Bernard, who I'm not sure he can play, you know, 40, 50 snaps a game, but he can play enough snaps to be a solid defensive tackle when he's out there. Linville Joseph has proven himself over the last couple of years. He's very solid in the middle, especially stopping the run. He wants to get better rushing the passer. Now, it's after these two guys where you're not sure what they have exactly. You have Marcus Kuhn, a sixth-round pick last year, a 26-year-old out of Germany who played very little college football, and they're trying to turn him into something. Then, of course, you have Dwayne Hendricks, a guy that's been in the league for a couple years now, an undrafted free agent. This is his second year with the Giants. He's on the practice squad last season, and you're trying to figure out exactly what he is. So beyond Bernard and Joseph, there are question marks, but at least at starter, I think you have some pretty good ideas. But Anita, the good thing about that is the Giants have so many DNs, and they're going to be in those pass rush packages so much, the defensive tackles don't necessarily have to be on the field a ton. I think we're going to see a lot of JPP and a lot of Tuck at defensive tackle until we get these guys back.
201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Let's talk about some guys that are injured, John, that we more than likely are not going to see tonight. As you said, JPP back spasms. But look, we know what JPP can do. So actually the silver lining here is this is going to give other guys really a great opportunity to kind of showcase their talents.
Sure.
And if they can make this roster. Michael Boley, his hamstring, more than likely will not play tonight. But I know that you're a big Keith Rivers fan. Keith Rivers is coming here from Cincinnati. Some people, this is an absolute steal in the trade that took place between the Giants and the Bengals. Five solo tackles last week against the Jets. He's had a great camp. And there's a chance that he might be needed as that linebacker, that starting linebacker against the Cowboys on Wednesday night.
Michael Boley tried to run yesterday, and he basically had to shut it down. So who knows when he's going to get back. This hamstring's been bothering him since basically the third day of training camp back at the end of July. So it's been a challenge with Michael Boley. And when you hear a coach talk about it, he doesn't sound pleased about it. But luckily, like you mentioned, Keith Rivers has started in this league. He was a ninth overall pick in 2009 from the Cincinnati Bengals. He stayed healthy, which has really been the trick for him his entire career. You'll actually hear from him on our pregame show tonight. He used our pregame interview, Keith Rivers. And I asked him, where do you think you're going to fit in when Michael Boley gets back? And he basically laughed. And he said, I don't know. And I've given up really trying to figure that out. I'm just going to keep playing. As long as I need me to start, I'll start. And then when that's no longer the case, when Michael gets back, I'll figure it out. But the way he's playing, swarming to the ball, he's very active. The Giants will find a use for him, even if it's in, you know, a weird nickel or dime package.
We talked about Beattie as well being out because of his back. Sean Locklear is going to get a lot of time at left tackle, although you do feel that there's a possibility that they might move Deal back there and he might start the season at right tackle. And let's talk about the wide receiver. Hakeem Nicks had a few great practices this week, but your expectation to or not to start tonight against the Chicago Bears?
Oh, he's not going to play tonight. I think you might see him for a series in the final preseason game. Hakeem has always said he likes to get a little bit of game action in before the regular season starts. I don't think that's a bad idea. But if you see him on the field before September 5th for more than 10 plays, I'd be surprised. But I think you might see him for a handful of snaps against the Patriots next week, but I would not expect to see him tonight.
Now, some good news, Hakeem Nicks. His first practice this week went like maybe 50% of the plays, came back the next day, felt great. No soreness or any discomfort from
and
that.
He jumped to 75%,
and
right?
Then went to 75%. So that's definitely a good sign, hoping that he'll get some action preseason game number four against the Patriots.
Yeah, he wants to, but the Giants also don't want to take any chances. The last thing Coach Coughlin wants is for Akiem Nicks to tweak something in a meaningless preseason game because, as you mentioned before, much like Jason Pierre-Paul, they know what Akiem Nicks can do. You're not worried about him, you know, getting into the mix here and figuring out how to get a rhythm and get comfortable with Eli Manning. That's not a worry with Akiem Nicks. And much like you mentioned on the defensive line, this gives a lot of opportunities to these other wide receivers. You'll probably see Victor Cruz and Dominic Kingston start tonight. But then you're going to get a lot of time with Reuben Randall, Jarrell Jernigan, Ramsey's Barden. And those guys will have a chance to play with the ones, which I think is important. And one guy I think they really want to see with the ones tonight is Reuben Randall. I would expect to see him a lot as the Giants' third receiver when they're out there with the ones to see what type of chemistry he can have with Eli Manning. So when you get to the regular season and they run out some four wide receiver sets, if Nicks is healthy and Hickson's there, is it going to be Jernigan? Is it going to be Randall? Is it going to be Barden? I think how these guys do tonight with the first team out there is going to go a long way to determining that.
Now, this is pretty interesting. Eli Manning, no TD passes yet this preseason.
So I'm really concerned.
So, you know, and the starters are going to go into the third quarter.
Right.
So, I mean, not that there's a concern there, but
no, I know.
But that is quite an interesting stat. I mean, granted, he hasn't had a tremendous amount of playing time, but playing into the third quarter.
I'll tell you what, I'd be more concerned about the Giants getting their running game going in terms of being consistent rushing the football, something they couldn't do all of last year. And really, they still don't get that push up front at the line of scrimmage. I don't think there's much worry, especially once Nicks gets back, if the passing game can turn on. But I think you worry about the running game. And quite frankly tonight, you know, the one thing I'm really going to watch, I want to see the secondary against a good quarterback, a good wide receiver, and an accomplished offense. Because quite frankly, after Corey Webster, do I know any of these guys are starting NFL quarterbacks? I don't.
Again, 201-939-4513 is the phone number. We have a special guest who's joining us, and that is former tight end of the Giants, Howard Cross.
Boo.
Howard, welcome.
How you guys doing this morning?
Good up, morning. Cross? Are you on the golf course? Are you about to tee it up? Are we?
I just actually walked out of a meeting to make sure I could get your call. So, you know, doing a little work in the city, trying to burn a little more oil to get, you know, make those dollars.
Well, we appreciate it. Again, John Schmelk, Anita Marks here at the Giants facility. Howard Cross, part of the broadcast team with the New York Giants, joining us. Just want to get your thoughts. Actually, you and I really haven't had an opportunity this season to talk about Martellus Bennett and in the tight end position, Bear Pasco, and what's going on. Through the first two preseason games and what you've seen at camp this year, your thoughts on the tight end position and Bennett?
Well, you know, I think the tight end position is like really two positions when you think about just this blocking guy and you have a receiving guy. There are a few guys in the league outside of Gronkowski and maybe a little bit of Witten, but Witten's not that known for his blocking, but actually can do both. Right now, that they're doing a good job in the blocking department. They're making probably 80% or 85% of those blocks. They're doing a, you know, good job holding the corner. They're big, strong guys. They look pretty impressive. They haven't been as utilized as of yet in the passing game, and we're waiting to see, you know, kind of how that comes to be. And usually, what happens in that situation is if you're not running the ball all that well, there's eight guys in that window or that area where you're getting the ball to your tight end. So they're going to have to run it a little bit more, you know, in order to, you know, to create some moments where they can be one-on-one with a little guy. If not, they're just going to be running into coverage almost every time, standing out in the field.
Yeah, Howard, and you mentioned the passing game there. How do you see Martellus Bennett as a route runner, as somebody Eli Manning can use as a reliable target? From what you can see, does he seem to be catching on to this offense and what he has to do? Can Eli rely on him to be in the right place at the right time?
Yeah, I mean, he's a big guy, like 6'7", just about. I mean, that alone gives him an advantage over most of the players that he's going to play against. He doesn't have to be like a burner that's going to outrun everybody by like 10 yards to be open. He can just be in close contact and basically get up and get a rebound. And that works in that 20-yard window that, you know, usually tight ends, you know, that they focus in and work in. He can do that. As far as how will Eli utilize him? He'll have to, you know, get in Eli's ear, listen to him, try to get inside of Eli's head, so to speak, to understand exactly where he needs to be and how. Basically, the guys right now who are having the most success are younger guys because they are basically hanging on every word that Eli says. It doesn't look like he's talking a lot from a fan's perspective, but he does do his part. He is a true leader, and these guys are definitely, you know, hanging on his words, and they understand what he wants.
Again, Howard Cross joining us here. Big Blue Kickoff Live, 201-939-4513 is the phone number if you want to get into the show. Howard, you know, preseason game three, I personally do not like preseason games, but out of all of them, if I had to watch one, it would be three because the starters get the majority of playing time, and they really call this, quote-unquote, the dress rehearsal. Kind of give us an idea, the mindset of a number of these guys that know, like, look, hey, their time is running short. They only have this game and possibly the fourth preseason game to really impress head coach Tom Coughlin and Jerry Reese to make this roster. What's their mindset going into this game this evening?
Well, you know, the big thing is that because of the limited actual contact practices that players are getting around the league now since the new collective bargaining agreement, their real opportunities are these preseason games. Unfortunately, for most of those players around the league that are trying to make teams, this is the absolute worst game for them because in this game, you want to get your starters and get them in a rhythm of play. So you want to give them the first quarter, the second quarter, and you want them to come out after halftime to start the third quarter and get a good series or maybe even two series in so they can get their bodies used to that transition from the first half to the second half, which means that now the guys like, you know, Hill, the safety, who's trying to impress the coaches, he's going to be impressing coaches on special teams. And those special teams reps, there may be 9 of them in a game, there may be 8 of them in a game, whereas before in the first preseason game, he may have gotten 25 plays, plus the 10, you know, special teams plays. We had 35 times on film to make an impression. Now he's going to get 8 plays and maybe 8 plays. He's got his exposure to the coaches has been cut in half. So guys, not just with the Giants, not just with the Bears, all around the league, these guys who are trying to make teams, this game is the hardest game for them to make an impression because you only have 8 to 15 opportunities on the field, and every time you're on, you know, you need to be seen on camera. You don't want to be seen for false starting, jumping outside, holding. You want to be seen for doing your job. I mean, this year, more than any other year, the preseason has had greater value and greater viewership, in my opinion, than ever. Because now, you know, I've talked to Jerry Reese. I've talked to a couple guys at the Jets, talked to a guy down in D.C., you know, and basically what they've all said is that, hey, look, the evaluation process is over the top. These games mean so much to these guys that are trying to make it. They have to be great students first, and then they have to, like, basically execute what they've been studying instantly. There is no learning process for them. There is, hey, I saw it, I remember it, I can do it.
But this Will Howard, with some injuries, gives some of the guys lower on the depth chart a chance to maybe get some time with the ones that wouldn't normally, and I want to focus on the third wide receiver there. I think with Nick still out, you'll see Cruz and Hickson probably start this game, but I think it'll be a pretty good opportunity for Jernigan, for Randall, for Barden to get some more playing time with Eli Manning than they might normally, and I think it could go a long way for those guys if they show that chemistry with Eli to prove to the coaches that they can be relied on in a regular season game.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now what I'm looking at when I'm sitting and watching games. I see Randall, who came in. He's a big, big-bodied guy who runs good routes. I don't see him tapping his chest when he's coming back to the huddle. He's doing a good job. And, you know, he seems to have a grasp of the game. I see a guy like Jernigan who's trying to find his way, whether a special teams being a returner or just, you know, trying to get any opportunity he can to get as open as possible. Then I see Ramsey Barden, a guy who has great potential, but potential gets you cut and gets coaches fired. He has to be looking at Randall. When they draft a guy in the second round at your position, that should be the wake-up call. If you didn't have one before, you should doubly have one now. You know, they drafted Jernigan, it was a little bit of a wake-up call, but seeing, you know, Randall in the game, seeing him run routes, seeing him catch the ball, seeing him stay on the field, that's the big wake-up call. And if I'm a receiver, I'm thinking, oh, my God, how do I do this? Remember, Victor Cruz, and everybody points to Victor Cruz, he was not that guy in college. The guy that we see now on the field, that's not who they saw when they were looking at UMass film. If it was, he would have been a draft pick.
Right.
And he was a free agent. What happens is he gets the lead, and somehow, some way, a switch comes on, and this confidence blows out of this kid, and all of a sudden, if he shakes at the top of a route, everything stops. The DB stops. He looks. The linebacker's not sure. They just stop. They want to say, okay, where's he going to go? They don't know. And then, you know, that guy is the guy that the Giants have now. No one knew he was going to be that guy. But it was just the confidence that separates him from, you know, a lot of other receivers, not just on the team, but in the league.
All right, Howard, final question from me. I think this is also a pretty good test for the Giants' secondary. You're going up against a real quarterback in Jake Cutler. You're going up against a top-notch wide receiver in Brandon Marshall. And really, beyond Corey Webster, at least in my opinion, I don't know that any of these guys are starting-caliber quarterbacks that can cover, you know, top-flight wide receivers. As you break down these quarterbacks past Corey Webster, what do you see, and are you concerned a little bit about the back end of that Giants' defense at corner?
Well, let's put it like this. When they played the Jets last week, there was a play where they sacked Sanchez. The receiver that was in front of Prince, he shakes and he runs by him. He has his hand up, and of course, they're sacking the quarterback. What's going to happen tonight is you're going to get to see a little bit of exposure because preseason games are meant, you know, to see guys, to test guys, to look at guys. If I'm a quarterback and I'm the starting quarterback and I'm trying to make the best use of my guys, I'm going to rotate guys to the side of the field where the cornerback is going to have the most problems. I want to get the ball down the field. I want to have some success. You know, I might throw it Corey one or two times just to test to make sure my guy is going to, you know, play against a top-flight corner. And then I'm going to give him a break. Hey, look, go against Corey a couple times. Let me try to get you ball. You doing all right? Okay, let's go to the other side. Let's see who they have over there. It's probably going to be a touchdown. And that's what a quarterback's thinking. That's what the entire offense is thinking. If you protect the quarterback, you're not going to hold the ball for a seven-step drop. It's going to be like three steps or five steps. That cornerback has to make plays. Unfortunately, the guy that's there right now is Prince, and I'm not saying unfortunately for the team, but unfortunately for Prince. His own teammates are questioning how tough he is. His own teammates are questioning his fire, if it's in his belly, if he wants to play. And that alone, if it were me, you know, give me the inspiration to play. And I'm worried right now, you know, Terrell Thomas is not there, and there is nobody. You know, Hovely looks good, but he's not the height, the size of a cornerback that can cover a guy who's going to be 6'2", 6'3". Some of these guys are 6'4", playing receiver in the NFL now.
Again, he is Howard Cross. Howard, before we let you go, give me one guy that's flying really low on the radar that you see making this squad, making this team, that some of the Giants fans out there listening right now should keep an eye on tonight. Who's your guy? Who's your dark horse in this race to make this 53-man roster?
The dark horse and probably the guy that everyone's talking about is the kid who came from Florida, the safety Hill. Guys, he has an incredible story, Jersey City kid. You know, some things went on in his life that, you know, that weren't the kind of things that you want to happen. And now he has an opportunity to make the team. And he's making the team under the influence of, hey, look, he has to study a lot. He's not getting a lot of snaps where, you know, an actual physical practice where coaches can evaluate him truly. He understands the opportunity that he's had. And after being out of football for a year, he is doing the extra yard to do everything he can to be on the field. I'm watching him. I'm actually even pulling for him to make this team and to make a difference so he can have a great story to tell. I'm like, you know, a lot like Victor Cruz, but different from Victor Cruz for a lot of different circumstances.
Will Hill is Howard Cross's guy. Howard, thanks so much for taking a break in your day to join us. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
All right,
thanks,
take
Howard.
Care.
And, of course, Will Hill had to miss practice on Wednesday because of death in the family. He will be back, and he will play tonight against the Bears. Just
pretty,
a heads up.
Pretty interesting. In practice this week, John, of course, we know that Perry Fuel, he loves to use that Ghidra package, as we call it, that three-headed safety package. And there was a lot of talk with Tyler Sash having to write out those suspensions at the beginning of the season and whatnot. Well, what are they going to do? Are they going to bring Deion back in? But Will Hill is really impressed a lot of coaches. and he played. I think it was Wednesday I was here. He actually played with the starters in that Ghidra package.
Yeah, he actually played some of that nickel corner spot with Hosley not there. And it was, I think it was the Thursday or the Wednesday practice. I think it was after the final play in the two-minute drill. He got caught up man-on-man in that Ghidra package, as you guys call it, covering Victor Cruz man-on-man. And Victor Cruz promptly beat him for an 80-yard touchdown. So, Anchorol used to be a corner. It's a lot easier for him to step into that slot corner spot and, I think, cover guys. Another guy the Giants actually have talked about using in that spot, Anita, is Jaquan Williams. He's a guy that has a lot of speed at linebacker. We saw him do such a great job on tight ends in coverage in the playoffs last year. So, I think that's another option for that spot, too. But, ideally, Hosey gets back healthy. He's playing that slot corner spot in your normal nickel package.
All right, joining us, we just heard from Howard Cross. We're going to bring on Jeff Fiegels, part of the pre- and post-game broadcast team this season. Figs, what's up?
Well, good morning. How are you guys today?
Doing well, Figs. How about yourself?
Getting there. Just excited about tonight's game. Sure you guys are, too. Just a lot of questions to be answered tonight where the starters are going to get a little bit more playing time, as I'm sure you guys have already talked about a little bit. So I'm excited to see some of these guys, you know, put the helmet on and go out and play his third preseason game. It means we're getting closer to the regular season.
Jeff, nothing gets me more excited than preseason football, I got to tell you.
Well, you know what? I know Paul Dottino gets really excited about it. He tweeted about it this morning, so he's all jacked up. He was going to go mow his lawn this morning and everything, so he's ready to go.
That's great.
Jeff, you know, obviously, you know, we've seen preseason game one and two, and now we're heading into three. Time is ticking for a lot of these guys trying to make the 53-man roster.
Sure.
I'll probably ask you this in our pregame show tonight, so this is just this is a warm-up for you, but what are some of the battles, the intriguing, interesting battles that you're going to be watching tonight that you think are going to be really interesting?
Well, I think the hot button tonight's game is definitely that left tackle position. I think that Sean Locklear, nobody knows when William B is going to get back in the lineup. So I'm going to be watching that very closely because the Giants are getting to the point now where they've got to sink or swim with somebody here. So, and I believe that it's going to be Sean Locklear. So be watching that. This linebacking crew, I just can't figure out with Michael Boley what's going on with him, why he can't get back on the field. So there's some position battles there to look for. Paysinger, I think, is a guy I want to see a little bit more of tonight. I don't know, we haven't heard anything about, or I haven't, the injuries as of today, if Bradshaw's going to play at all or what have you, but David Wilson's going to get some time again, and DJ Ware, certainly that running game, it has to get going better than it has in the past, better than it did last year, so the Giants also need to really concentrate, and I'd like to see how that's going to get going today, too. And one other position that I think a lot of people are taking a look at, including myself, will be the cornerback position and who is going to step up. Is it going to be Prince? Is it going to be Michael Coe? Is it Tyron? Who is going to be that other guy out there? So those are what I'm looking forward to tonight. The starter is going to be playing into the third quarter, which will be good. It's when I was playing, of course, I've always got to play the whole game, but these guys get to play in pretty much three quarters today, and it'll get them a nice warm-up until they can, next week they'll be sitting down and getting ready for the Cowboys on September 5th.
You know, Jeff,
day it is. Whatever day it is.
No, you got it right. And we just had Howard Cross on, Jeff, and he was talking about how with Corey Webster being an accomplished cornerback, odds are, until he proves otherwise, teams are going to go out there and target Prince Amukamara on the other side of the field at cornerback. Mm-hmm. Well, you could look at that a couple of ways, but I'm sure the way Coach is explaining it to Prince is that guys are throwing your way. That's an opportunity for you to show these teams that you can cover and maybe make a big play, step in front, and get a pick. And it'll give him a chance to really show this coaching staff what he can do, and he can be a starting cornerback.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what the Bears do tonight. That'll kind of give you a little idea what other teams will be looking at. You know, Cutler certainly we know can throw the ball. I think the question with their team is their offensive line. Can they protect the guy? So Brandon Marshall, he'll be Webster will be on him, or maybe the Giants will say, "Hey Prince, we want to see what you can do tonight. Go over there and cover Brandon Marshall." So who knows? But I agree with you, John. I think that's a good point.
Again, Jeff Eagles joining us here, Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, John Schmoke back at the Giants facility. Let's talk about special teams, something you're very familiar with. we know Zach Diassi and Steve Weatherford have it down pat, as well as Tynes. But in that return game, that first game, I think there was a lot of disappointment in regard to muffs that took place. Not a lot of opportunity against the Jets to kind of show what these young guys can do. What's going to be on tap tonight? Do you feel like, the Bears have a rookie punter? I think that from what I understand, they're having some health issues with their punting situation. This could be a huge opportunity. Who knows if the Giants maybe can return one to the house tonight?
Well, hopefully they get to punt a lot so we can see it, I think that with Jerron Hosley, most likely, I believe, is going to be out of the game tonight. I've liked what I've seen out of him, with the exception of the fumble that he had in the first preseason game. But, Jernigan is going to have to prove that he can do that. And we know what Hickson can do. So I think between those three guys, somebody to this point nobody has stepped up. I think Jerron Hosley, to me, has been the one that I have seen the most explosiveness, the speed. But as Coach Coughlin will tell you, which one of these guys can handle the football and give it back to the offense without, fumbling or turning it over? Because we all know what turnovers can do in a football game. So, Anita, I think that's we'll see tonight with this young guy. If he's a young guy, he's probably going to be able to give these guys some chances to return some punts, and it'll be exciting. So, and that part of the game, we have talked about it a lot, and just for so many years now, and even when we were playing, when I was playing for the Giants, it just seems to me that position has not had much productivity out of. And I would really certainly like to see one of those young guys, especially Jernigan, who did a little bit of it last year, to step up and say, "Hey, coach, I want to be the guy."
I think you'll see some Randall back there, too. I wouldn't be surprised if they finally give Hickson a chance to return a kick and a punt, too, just to kind of get the veteran back into the mix a little bit. But I have a different question, Jeff. Did you get physically ill watching the Jets punter try to punt the ball in bounds last week?
Oh, I know. We were talking about that up in the press box. I feel bad for those guys. I know what they're going through, and it's hard. I think, especially the first one that you hit like that, it plays on your mind. And the second one, and then there's the third one, is just, by that time, you're pretty much mentally destroyed. But I think that experience and mental toughness at that position is what it takes to be a good punter. You have to be able to Anita, you're going to love this comparison, but it's just like the golfers that, hit one out of bounds or miss a putt. They just have to they have to put that behind them and go get the next one. And that's what punting is. You don't get that many opportunities in a game. You get four, five, six times, but if you shank three of them, you're probably not going to get another opportunity after that.
Golfing, what's that? I've been trying to get you on the links for, a month now? Really?
Yeah.
Really? You're going to go there?
I'm just letting you get warmed up a little bit more,
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Jeff, thanks for joining us. Exciting, excited to work with you later on this evening. So we'll be hosting the Giants pregame show on 101.1 FM WCBS tonight starting at
7:05.
Thanks, Anita. Thanks,
okay.
John. We'll
All
talk
right.
to you guys soon.
Have a great day.
Thanks, Vic. See you tonight.
You too. Bye-bye.
First home game, by the way, for the preseason for the Giants. Really, I know last
yeah, but we
week,
were, there were there last week.
Yeah, but
so
it was in green.
No,
it was in green. It's not home.
I know what you meant. So excited about that. Also want to make some notes, some housekeeping notes here. Saturday, August 25th from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Make sure you head out to MetLife Stadium. It's the Giants blood drive, and they're going to have the Lombardi Trophy out there, right?
I believe they are, and they want you to make an appointment to come in. And go. That's preferable. You can call 1-800-RED-CROSS or go to Giants.com. You can sign up there as well. They will take walk-ons, walk-ins rather, but there could be a line. So to avoid a line, if you want to wait when you come and give blood, call, make an appointment beforehand.
And also the Patriots game, preseason game number 4, has been changed to 7 o'clock
right.
On Wednesday the 29th so that the Republican National Convention can not be bothered.
So those are two conventions that the Giants had to switch their games around
okay.
for. Can't catch a break here. Wednesday football, you got to love it. It's baked in tradition, those Wednesday night football games.
201-939-4513, the phone number 201-939-4513. I know you did were we able to pull up some David Wilson?
Oh, yeah.
Sound?
Sure.
I know myself, I'm sure there's a lot of Giants fans out there really excited for preseason game number 3. Ahmad Bradshaw suffered a hand contusion, so not sure exactly how much playing time, but how much playing time. We all know what Ahmad Bradshaw can do. Not sure how much playing time he's going to get, but we do know one thing for sure, and that is David Wilson's been practicing with the first team this week at practice, and he is going to get some reps and some downs with the first team tonight against the Chicago Bears, and this young man is really excited.
They got me going with the one, so I look at it as really my first preseason game, getting a real feel and going against a first-team defense and out there with the starters and see how productive I can be.
Is it a big deal to go with the ones with you?
Definitely. I was nervous a little bit when they first told me, and they told me I was going to go with the ones, and they had to sink in, and I got out in practice yesterday, and you could tell I was a little bit jittery and nervous or whatever. And settled in, and now I'm just looking forward to the game.
What's the responsibility like being a part of the starting group?
You just feel more. You're in there with Eli and all the other guys, so you want to go out there and show what you can do, and hopefully you can get more reps with Eli and be getting more plays with the ones.
Nervousness is not something that we've heard from you. You seem a confident guy. Was it the first time you really
that was the first yet? Time, yeah.
Since you've been here.
Yeah, so, like, even in college when I went with Tyrod, it was like, you know, I'm all nervous. This was the first time in a long time I felt nervous. It was yesterday.
Again, that was running back David Wilson. Going to get some playing time with the ones tonight.
He's psyched.
I'm psyched. I'm
he's
psyched.
He's nervous, too. You
I'm
heard him.
Psyched. I'm not nervous for him.
He doesn't
I'm
want
psyched.
To get Eli
I'm
killed.
I'm pumped. But again, yeah, again, that's the big – everyone knows how explosive this young man can be. Everyone knows what kind of runner he is. Yeah. Keep an eye on if you see Julius Peppers, Briggs. We know that Urlacher's not playing. When the Bears do blitz, how does David Wilson, if he's in at that point in time, how does he respond to that? That's you definitely want to keep an eye on that as well. Let's talk about guys that are in that backfield as well. That are we know DJ Ware is definitely going to be on this squad, more than likely the third down back going
odds
into the
are
season.
Yes.
But Darrell Scott and Andre Brown, pretty interesting. Andre Brown has had a better camp than Darrell Scott.
I think Andre Brown right now is the leg up. I think it's close. I think that could change tonight if Andre Brown plays poorly and Darrell Scott plays extremely well. I think Darrell Scott's injuries early in camp really hurt him. He missed the first preseason game, missed a lot of practices. And I think they just like the size and speed of Andre Brown. He's a little bigger than Scott. I know Scott has that great straight-ahead speed, but his lateral movement isn't very good. He looks a little stiff in the hole when he's trying to cut and find space. So I would say right now, Andre Brown's that fourth guy. Now, assuming that's that they carry four running backs on the active roster, which I don't know if they will. But I think right now Brown is slightly ahead of Darrell Scott on the depth chart.
Well, let me ask you this, though.
Sure.
Do you feel that Darrell Scott would pass through waivers? Because that's keep in mind, that has to be taken in consideration as well. I mean, well, Andre Brown's been around this league a long time.
Is Darrell Scott even practice squad eligible? Didn't he start in too many games last year? He probably can't even get onto the practice squad. He might have played in too many games.
Good point.
I could be wrong. I don't have to check that, but that's just off the top of my head. He must have played in, 10, 12 games last year?
It's a great point.
So it's you either lose him, you lose him.
Right. But it is going to be an interesting
it
battle
is, yeah.
to see.
No
and, question. And that's definitely that's a battle that I think is really going to come down to preseason game number 4.
Oh, yeah, because both of them will get a ton of playing time because you probably won't see Ahmad Bradshaw at all, and DJ Ware will play very limited time in preseason game number 4. I agree.
201-939-4513. Staying on the offense, the battle at the wide receiver position, and talking about that number 6 wide receiver. Barden, Douglas has been impressive. The players and the coaches love DePalma.
Barden's been here for 4 years, third-round draft pick. Journegan, third-round draft pick. Isaiah Stanback, great special teams player. Another guy, Brandon Collins, has been impressive on special teams as well. So that final wide receiver spot, I think, Anita, will be very interesting to see how they determine who gets that spot. Are they going to take the guy that they think has the most potential as a wide receiver down the road, or are they going to take the guy that could be an immediate impact on special teams? My guess is, considering their youth at wide receiver, is they'll pick a guy that'll help on special teams right away. Then again, is that six wide receiver going to be active on game day anyway? Is he going to make the top 53, or then they maybe going to take off Jernigan or something like that if he's not as helpful in special teams? I think it was a very interesting scenario to see how the Giants approach that spot. And it also depends on, like you mentioned with the running backs, who they think they can slip onto the practice squad. If they think they can slip the Palmer or David Douglas onto the practice squad, they'll do that. But again, calculated risk. They thought they could do that with Jake Boward, and we saw how that worked out.
Again, 939-4513, 939-4513. Let's go to Virginia. JD is on. JD, welcome.
Hey, good morning, Ms. Marks. Mr. Schmelk, how you doing this morning?
What's up, JD?
Hey, well, listen, I just want to let you know that the program is phenomenal. Thank you for giving me my morning Big Blue News. Okay. It is really appreciated.
Hey, JD, do me a favor. I want you to call back and get transferred to Don Sperling, and you can tell him just that. Maybe we can get some raises or something.
There you go.
What's up?
Well, listen, I want to just ask the offensive line. Do you think that the Giants could have sold themselves short by not going for any other bigger name tackles? Because, yes, they have Sean Locklear, who came from the Redskins and had his time. But as I've seen in a couple of games, the rookies that they did draft weren't really doing too well. So do you think they could, I guess, sometime in the season, could try to go for like a Clifton or one of the other tackles that are still available?
I think Locklear was the move you're talking about, to be honest with you. You know, good tackles don't come cheap. You're not finding a good tackle that you can use as your third tackle off the bench. But I don't. Now on the other hand, I don't think you're going to find a much better third tackle than Sean Locklear, a guy that's been in the league for a long time, started a lot on both sides. He's invaluable, and that's why I don't think the Giants are panicking, because they know that Locklear, while he might not be a Pro Bowler, might not be a top 15, top 20 tackle in the league, he's certainly in that top 30, top 40, and I think they believe he can hold down the fort until Beatty gets back. But I'll be honest, Anita, I'm worried about William Beatty. This back's been bothering him since.
Have you ever had a sciatic problem?
No, but I have pulled muscles in my back, and I know how tough it is, and I've had friends that have had sciatic, and they had to have surgery on discs and stuff like that. And this has been bothering him since the OTAs. They've been giving him treatment since June on this. And every time he plays, it gets worse. Every time he plays, he aggravates it more. So something's going to have to give here if he wants to come back and play. And if I'm a Giant fan, I would not count on William Beatty being here for a lot of the season. What evidence do I have that this back injury is going to miraculously heal in a couple weeks when it hasn't healed in 2.5 months?
201-939-4513. I know we've got also some sound from Sean Locklear as well. He's going to get a lot of playing time tonight. This is a guy that you definitely want to see. How does he do at that left tackle position? As John Schmelk mentioned earlier, his gut is telling him that possibly for that regular season game one against the Cowboys, we'll see Deal at left tackle and Sean Locklear at right. But you never know. Let's hear what Sean Locklear had to say earlier this week.
I think Sean talks about that as well. Let's take a listen.
Being a veteran, you know what it is that has to be done to get the job done. How do you feel you're meshed into this whole system of production the first couple of years?
You know, it's a learning process. You know, just getting out there with the ones and learning the entire system, you know, which I'm still, you know, probably about 90%, 95% there, you know, so it's still a learning process. But, I feel I've done well, you know, over the two games that I did get to play.
You played mostly right tackle
throughout the year? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, I played 1 year in Seattle at left, and then last year in D.C. I was the swing tackle.
Yeah. So is there any adjustment for you to learn a left tackle?
I mean, it is, but, you know, when I was in Seattle, I was, you know, during the preseason and stuff, I was filling in for Walter Jones because he was a, you know, holdout or whatever. And over every year, I would try to come in and play left the whole preseason, and I'd, you know, take week one and move to right. So there's some experience over there.
That could happen here. I mean, you guys basically have a left tackle playing right tackle now and a right tackle playing left tackle.
It's a possibility, but, you know, I'm at left right now, so, you know, that's what I expect.
But if they made that switch, you know, heading into the regular season, you, even though you've been working almost exclusively at left tackle, you would feel comfortable?
Yeah, I've spent, you know, my main purpose is to learn the system. You know, I spent most of my career, like I said, you know, playing on the right. I've done it every camp almost, play all left and then got switched to right. So I feel comfortable at whatever they put me at.
Big test against the Bears, pass rush?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. You know, I mean, we get tested every day here in practice. You know, it doesn't get better, any better than that, the guys I see here. But, you know, Julius Peppers is, you know, top of the line. He's one of those elite pass rushers, and as well as Adonijé. He's had a big game this last preseason game, so they're revved up and ready to go.
Pretty interesting comment that Sean Locklear, offensive lineman, makes. Yes, he's going up against Julius Peppers tonight. That's going to be a test, but, man, doesn't get any better than the defensive line you see here every day at the Giants facility. And, of course, you're talking about OC, JPP, Tuck, you name it. That's got to make you better as an offensive lineman.
Well, how could it not? And I think the other interesting point that he made is that in almost every training camp he's been in, he started on the left side and then he's went to play the right side with no problem. So I think what that tells you, you're not going to have any issue moving him back over to the right side if you have to. And I think David Deal, who's played every offensive line spot since he's gotten to the league except for center, that he'll be very comfortable doing that as well. And Anita, I want to go to a Twitter question real quick. It's not really his actual Twitter question, but our man Duncan out in England, who's one of our big listeners out there, always tweets us. Do you think TC already knows his entire 53? The answer to that is no. But my question for you, Anita, how many, and I'll answer too, how many of that 53 do you think they do know right now? What, 48? five, six roster spots, you think?
Well, let's, again, honestly, all right, let's go through it. Let's have fun.
Okay.
All right, let's
go.
And again, phone lines are open, by the way. 201, well, John and I are having fun this morning. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. 201-939-4513, the phone number on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. All right, let's start, obviously, quarterback. Okay, let's start offense. Let's start. So we know
Eli Manning, Eli Carr.
Eli Carr, that's two.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go running back. Ahmad Bradshaw, David Wilson, DJ Ware, and then I think they keep either Darrell Scott or Andre Brown.
Okay, so that's three running back for sure, and we have one up for grabs.
So that's four.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so one question mark. Wide receivers, Victor Cruz, Jernigan, Reuben Randall, Hickson.
Nix.
So that's five. That's five. I do believe they keep six.
I agree. So six with one up for grabs.
So six with one up. What do you mean one up for grabs?
Wait, which means more what, the guys like, are, you know, guys are competing for that final spot. So we don't know where that final six wide receiver is.
Okay,
coming
so
from.
But we're in agreement there that it'll probably be six
sure.
wide receivers.
Agreed. I'm with you.
Okay.
What do you think? Three tight ends?
Yeah.
And I don't think they know who that third guy is quite yet. Oh, eight, that's right. Adrian Robinson, the kid at Cincinnati.
Yeah.
That makes a good point. Forgot
so
about that.
I think that's pretty.
Yep.
Okay. So
I'm with you.
Running back, wide receiver, question mark.
And we got to put the one fullback in there with Henry, obviously.
So I think they try to get Martinick on the practice squad.
I think, and we could put Martinick in the mix for that fourth running back spot if we want to. But I agree. I think Martinick's a practice squad guy.
Okay. So one fullback.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's going to be Henry.
Right. Okay. Now, offensive line.
Oh, boy.
Okay, Beattie, Booth, Boss, Snee, Deal, that's five.
And you got Locklear, six.
Petras,
seven.
Petras, let me say this. I love Petras, and Petras was so huge for this team last year, but he has not had a good camp, John.
There's been a lot of yelling in his direction over the course of some practices, which is never a good sign, but I'd be shocked if he wasn't there. And I think,
I think
you're going to have Jim Cordle there, too, because he's really their backup center. I mean, you can move Booth to center, but I think you got a decent chance of having Cordle and Brewer on that roster, too. I could see nine offensive linemen.
All right, so six Locklear, seven Petras,
eight
Cordle.
You think nine offensive linemen? And then you got to have James Brewer on there, too. So I think there's your nine. But I think that Cordle spot could be in competition. So I think you would go with eight guys we know, and the ninth guy is kind of still being decided. That's what I would say.
Okay, so that's 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 24. That's 25 on offense.
And you have the three specialists, Diasi, Tynes, and Weatherford. We know who those guys are.
Okay, now let's go defense.
Okay.
All right, so right now we're at 28.
We're at 28 now, okay.
Okay.
So we got 25 guys left to go here.
All right. Let's start on the line.
Sure.
Justin Tuck, of course, we know. Jason Pierre-Paul, mm-hmm. OC, mm-hmm. that's three. I think Adrian Tracy. I think he's done it.
I think he's on.
I think he's on.
I agree.
Marvin Austin.
As long as he's healthy, he's on. Agreed.
Okay. Obviously, Linval Joseph.
Yep.
So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
6 right there. Rocky Bernard's on.
That's seven. Okay. Now.
Canty's on pup. He doesn't count as a roster spot.
Right. See, now, the question is, here is Sean Rogers. Now, folks listening in, if you were not aware, some positive news that took place earlier this week. Sean Big Baby Rogers got a second opinion, and there is a chance, there is an opportunity that maybe down the road he will be able to play for this team.
Well, how many defensive linemen? I figure, what, you have 8 D linemen?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I say 8, maybe not. I mean, Perry Fuel loves this.
I know he does, but the thing about it, though, is that you could put Kiwi at defensive end. So I think he can act as almost your quasi ninth defensive lineman. So I think you go with 8. And I think the 8th guy, you know, you get the Marcus Coons, you get the Hendrixes, the Adewale Ajomos. I think that 8th spot.
So what, Dwayne Hendricks? Does that mean Dwayne Hendricks
and Coon are out? No, I think they're battling for that final spot.
You think they're battling?
Yeah. So I think you have 8 defensive linemen with the final one. That 8th guy is not to be decided yet.
Okay. Linebackers,
mm-hmm.
Kiwi,
mm-hmm.
Rivers,
mm-hmm.
Blackburn, Boley, that's
mm-hmm.
4, Herzlick, 5,
mm-hmm.
Jaquan, 6.
6.
And I think Pacinger's done it.
I think him and Greg Jones are still very much in the mix.
But
I think they have a decision. I give
Pacinger, based on camp and based on what I've seen, I give Pacinger the leg up. Again, just my opinion.
Okay. So we're at how many then, linebackers?
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So we're saying 7 with a question mark between Pacinger and Jones. Who gets in?
Okay. You know what, though? They like those linebackers on special teams. Could they keep 8 linebackers? Let's go back to that. Let's see if they can fit that many on. But let's go with 7 for now. 7, and I'm gonna leave the Jones and Pacinger up for grabs.
Okay. Corners. Mm-hmm. DBs. Let's just go DBs as a whole. How's that?
I think we should split up safeties.
Okay. So corners. Webster, Prince.
Hosley.
Coe.
He's got that hamstring, but I think, all right. I think
Tryon?
Okay. They're veteran
guys.
I'm not telling you. Honestly,
them.
It's tough. I'm not sure if they really know what's going on with these cornerbacks yet. Aside from those top three, I mean, Molden, Coe, Tryon, I think they're all kind of in a bit of a mishmash right now. Nobody has really, in my opinion, stood out, especially in the preseason games where you're like, that guy's got to be on the team. You have Dante Hughes in that mix. Bing, who's been out with an injury.
All right, are we saying that they're going to take 4? So
it's 5. I think they keep 5 DBs, yeah.
Okay.
I think you got 5 corners.
All right, so Webster, Prince, Hosley, Tryon, Coe.
Okay. And that's 5 right there.
And then
right?
Terrell starts on the pup, right?
I think you could put him back on the pup for the regular season. Is that true? Yeah, I think. But remember, he played in training camp, so he can't be on the training camp.
Because we're anticipating Terrell. We're anticipating Thomas and Canty to start on the pup, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I got to double check those pup rules. I'm pretty sure once the regular season starts, you can get put back on it. But he's not on pup right now because he practiced at training camp. So. Yeah.
All right. So safeties. Kenny Phillips, roll.
So that's 6 cornerbacks, right? We got right there.
5.
I think because right now we have. We're 43. We have 10
three,
spots
four,
left.
Five.
So we have 4 safeties.
We
and
have
6
5
corners.
With Terrell on the pup. That's what we have.
Okay.
Right?
I got it, yeah.
Safeties. Phillips, Roll, Sash.
And Hill.
Hill. That's 4.
I don't think you're keeping any more guys than that. So I think you have room for either an 8th linebacker or a 6th cornerback. Because right now we're at 52.
Okay, so the question is, out of those 53, How many of those 53 do the coaches know absolutely positively make this team?
Well, here's the ones we don't know. We know there's one, at least this is what we think. We don't know anything. Believe me. 1 running back, 1 wide receiver, 1 offensive lineman, 1 defensive lineman, 1 linebacker. I'm going to say 3 corners. and three. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's 8. 8 spots that could still potentially be available. Assuming those cornerbacks are not as defined as I think. If there's only one cornerback position up for grabs, then you're talking about closer to 6 guys that they haven't yet decided yet. And again, this is just our opinion looking at stuff, and there's a lot of, you know, there could be injuries between now and the 4th preseason game. There could be a lot of different things.
201-939-4513. If you've got a question or comment about just 2 minutes left in the show. Again, preseason game number 3 tonight. Kickoff at 8:05. It's against the Chicago Bears. And really quick, let's talk about the Bears.
Yeah.
Jay Cutler, you know I'm a big fantasy football freak.
No.
I have him as a huge sleeper. I think Jay Cutler's going to have a monster year this year. They add Brandon Marshall. They draft Alshon Jeffrey from South Carolina.
Big kid. Was he 6'5", that Alshon Jeffrey?
He leads their wide receiving core in yards so far this preseason. He had 3 receptions for 62 yards last week against the Washington Redskins. Devin Hester, he's going to play a much larger role on offense. Martz apparently was just not a big fan, but this year he's gonna play opposite. He's gonna start opposite Brandon Marshall. So Jeffrey will be that third wide receiver. Then you add Michael Bush to that backfield with Matt Forte. So you've got a nice 1-2 punch in the backfield.
Yep.
Their offensive line has gotten better. So this is a much improved offense, and Jay Cutler, I think, is just going to have so much fun in a field day with a lot of talent around him.
I think Jay Cutler is most excited about having an offensive coordinator that actually bothers to protect his quarterback, which Mike Martz really never did, going back to the days where he got Kurt Warner, basically turned him into a bad quarterback for 2 or 3 years. He got hit so much. And I think that's the most exciting thing for Cutler. And how the offensive coordinator does, I think, will go a long way to determining how good the Bears are. You mentioned fantasy football. Me and Lance had an impromptu conversation about this yesterday, so I'll bring it up to you two guys now, being part of the fantasy mix last year. We were thinking about changing a little bit the way we're going to do the fantasy contest this year. We want to try and involve a few more people. I'll do it. We'll get the team to do it. I think we can get Eisen to do it too. So the way we considered it is that, and I want to throw this out to you too, is switch it up where you get all these different people doing it, and everybody has free reign to select any player they want, except you have 3 restricted players at each position, the same way you guys did it last year. We could figure out a way to determine that. But then everybody can make their roster from then on out any way they want each week. So if teams have the same player, that's okay. You figure that it's still going to be a pretty good mix between the 6, 7, 8 people that are there. You can have weekly prizes, the weekly contest, who wins each individual week. But then you can also do a rotisserie format where you build points over the course of the season, and then you have an end-of-the-year champion not only based on record each week and which place you finished in, but also on total points. So it becomes almost like a dual-purpose type of contest.
Now, I've played in those before.
Uh-huh.
The key there, though, is that you need some type of salary cap. If you're gonna play, for example.
Interesting.
For example, you know, you can.
I'll be okay with that.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I do. Yeah, because otherwise, that way you have to balance your roster.
Like
you can't pick the first guy.
Ray Rice
you can't take
like Ray Rice and LeSean McCoy.
Okay.
You know, like,
where do we get the dollar values for those players?
There's a ton of websites.
Okay.
Yeah, we can figure that out.
That's easy.
There's a ton of websites.
I'll be honest, though, John. You had me at Tatino playing fantasy football. So pretty much you didn't have to keep going.
If all Paul has to do is pick out like 5 or 6 guys on a Tuesday, I think he'll do it.
Yeah.
If he doesn't have to come in and do like the whole draft and rigmarole, I think he'll be okay with that. And I think that's why I can get Eisen to do it, too. We'll have like a webpage. Salomon can do it.
I think we're definitely onto something here.
And I think Pop and Banks might actually be willing to do it, too.
That'd be cool.
But we really need to establish a salary cap.
Which is fine. I got no problem with that. I think that works. I think that's good.
I finally got all the Giants media who cover the team to have a league.
Oh, did you really?
I did. And I said, Ohm from ESPN is the commissioner of it. And I said, just save 2 spots. You know, I'm going to get Dottino to play.
No.
Nope. He's not going to do it. He won't do it. Unbelievable.
Oh, you're really surprised?
Yeah, I really. I thought this would be the year that he would do it. So, folks, stay tuned for that because it's an opportunity for our listeners out there to compete, especially if Bob Pop and Carl Banks participate. That could be a lot of fun
for some
of our listeners.
Hey, you know what, with the salary cap, then we can almost put it out there and pick five fans on Twitter or the website. They can submit their own teams each week.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And you can have a fan each week, and you can
compete.
Add their points, and maybe the fans – you know, total picks over the course of the year could beat us.
And the winners, maybe the winner of that week, the fan can come on next week, so it's a little prize for them, a little incentive to stay on top of their game.
I think we're onto something.
Yeah,
here.
We're figuring this out. Cool.
Really quick, before we do sign off, in kind of reading what's going on with the Bears, things that they need to accomplish tonight, they want to establish the running game, so look for a heavy pound attack, which is pretty interesting because head coach Tom Coughlin was not happy with the run defense in that first game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. So that's going to be an interesting matchup.
Stop throwing and run the ball on offense.
Yes. Defense, their linebackers, Urlacher's out right now because of his knee situation. Concern about linebackers coverage. So interesting to see how the Giants utilize Cruz, possibly Reuben Randall. He loves to go in the middle.
And Martellus Bennett, too.
And Martellus Bennett, to see how those linebackers defend the Giants receivers who run 7 o'clock, 101.1 FM, CBS, WCBS Radio, your pregame show, myself, Jeff Fiegels, Paul Tatino. We'll have interviews with John Schmelk. We'll hear from head coach Tom Coughlin.
Keith Rivers will be the player interview, so you could tune in for that, one of the newest Giants.
Fantastic. So a lot more coming your way a little bit later on this evening. So, folks, hopefully you enjoy preseason game number 3 against the Chicago Bears. We'll see you then.